Hey everyone this morning, and appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and do ask continued interest in your prayers as we come before you and try to speak in the Lord's name and speak in a way that be pleasing in His sight. I'd like to speak to you this morning about a subject that sometimes can be kind of hard for the preacher to talk about. But it's what's on my heart, my mind, and it's about singing and the importance of singing, the reason we sing, and what the Scripture has to say about it. The Scripture, of course, is our authority. You know, we can find other sources that gives us good information about any subject of the Bible. And the same is true of singing. But our first and foremost authority, of course, should be of the Scripture. Now, singing, the first thing I'd like to impress upon us about singing is that it is part of the worship service. And it's not a voluntary part of the worship service. It's that which God has ordained that we're to worship Him in singing. And if that's the case, then, you know, we need to understand what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing it. One of the things I like to always consider when looking at a subject is what is the rule of first occurrence. What does the Bible say about a subject the first time? So much of the time, if not all the time, will have a bearing, at least in principle, upon that subject from that point forward. The first time that we find that the occurrence in the New Testament, which is what, this is our era, is the New Testament. This is the rules that govern our mode, way, and purpose of worship start with Matthew 1, verse 1, and covers the 27 books of the New Testament. And the first occurrence of the word or of the subject, actually, we don't find it until over later in the book of Jesus' experience in the book of Matthew. After the Lord's Supper, it says that the disciples, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The word sing, we might say, well, what does that word mean to us, singing? Well, singing is, again, let's go to the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus, you know, that singing, as far as the what it is you're singing, consists of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Three different types of verse, if you please, three different types and manners of singing. But then he says, and making melody. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, word construction, sentence construction, all this is important when you're trying to understand what the Scripture is saying. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then he puts a comma there. Now, that comma there is for a purpose. It's not just so it be grammatically correct. It means that that Paul is going to give us a phrase that helps us to further understand how we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, well, the first thing that Paul wants us to understand is that when we're singing, we're not just making a noise. Singing is an expression. It's we're saying something. You know, a lot of times you can tell about where a person's heart is when you listen to the songs that they sing. Not just in church, but when they're riding the tractor or riding the lawnmower or washing dishes or whatever they're doing. And all of us, well, at least 99.9% of us probably do that, either consciously or unconsciously. I don't have the time to go into all that, but I personally believe that God has created us, especially his children. He puts in us that desire to sing. Singing is a part of praise. And God puts that desire within us. And, you know, one of the worst things that I dislike to hear is people to use that for an excuse not to sing. Well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, let me tell you something. God has not asked you to carry your tune in a bucket. He wants you to sing. Now, you know, every one of us could give an experience. You know, there was a time in my life that I couldn't do so and so. But I decided that I wanted to do that. You know, maybe you're married and you become a homemaker and say, well, my mother never taught me to sew. But I can see the advantages of sewing. Well, if you want to sew, well, what do? You go about doing whatever you have to do to learn how to sew. And then as you begin to learn, then you put what you've learned into practice. And you begin to use. The only way you're going to learn how to sew is what? It's to sew. You know, maybe you're the husband of the house. And you say, well, my daddy never taught me how to take care of things around the house. You know, he just did it himself. Or where we lived, you know, we didn't have to do it. You know, maybe dad was military. And he lived in housing and, you know, we didn't have to do those kind of things. But I want to learn how to build. I want to learn how to do things with wood and lumber and so forth. Well, how are you going to learn it? You're going to have to do it. You know, sitting in front of a computer and watching the internet, and you know, that part of the internet I truly love. You can learn a lot. But putting it up here and transferring it to here is two different things. You have to put into practice what you're learning. Well, guess what? The same thing is true about singing. You know, we can learn how to sing. In fact, we're commanded how to sing. This particular verse of scripture that I read to you, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you go study the grammar and you go study the Greek, and you can do that. You don't have to study Greek in order to learn Greek. You just study what those who have learned it, and they tell you, well, this is what this means. And what they tell me is that this is not a suggestion. Paul is not writing to the church at Ephesus, oh, by the way, I think it would be a good idea if you speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is a commandment. Paul's telling the church at Ephesus, oh, yeah, by the way, you need to, this is what God is inspiring me to tell you, that as a member of Ephesus Church, the body of Christ, that you need to speak to yourselves in spiritual songs, hymns and psalms, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's a very important element. And again, by the way, when we, or at least we should, and I think most congregations do, when we call a man as pastor, and we know that one of the, if not the primary responsibility that we're asking of him is to preach, we expect him to apply himself, to study the scriptures, so that when he speaks to us through the gospel, that he knows what he's talking about, that he's researched his subject, and he's done all that, and that what he's telling us, that we can feel confident that he knows what he's talking about and that he's teaching us that subject, and that we can accept what he's saying. Of course, that doesn't mean we just accept it at face value. We shouldn't do that. But that doesn't take away from the point that we want him to know what he's talking about. We expect that of him, and we should. And there's scripture for that. Well, we can apply the same principle, and the same principle is applied scripturally to every other part of the worship service. Singing and prayer and preaching.
Amen.
And another, oh, by the way, the preacher applies himself, he studies during the week, and he prays, and whenever he comes before his congregation, you know, all of that is for naught if the Spirit of God doesn't bless him. The same principle is true when it comes to singing. You can be the most professional, the most accomplished musician and singer in the whole Wiregrass area and stand before a group of people with the full intent of showing them how good you can sing, and doing it for your glory, and I guarantee you God can close you and make you so embarrassed that you won't ever want to sing again. So the point is that as we apply ourselves and understand the role and why we sing, and that we're supposed to sing, and that we should work at singing, that we should make it a priority. Because we're worshiping God. And in principle, what we're doing in the song service is just as important as what the preacher is doing during the preaching service. Because there's an element that breaks my heart too many times that we forget in the song service. We want the preacher to preach the truth. We should want to sing the truth. Amen?
Amen.
I think in breaking my heart is that too many times we've sung songs in the pew during the song service on a particular subject, and it wasn't right. The preacher gets up and preaches, maybe I've experienced this on the same subject. What he preached from the pulpit, from the scripture, didn't match what that congregation sang just a few minutes earlier. These song books are not inspired, okay? But it takes the Spirit of God to put a song book together. It takes the Spirit of God to bless a person to write verses that should be scripturally, spiritually sound. If they're not, then we don't need to sing them, especially in a worship service. We need to sing the truth. And we don't need to sing a song just because it sounds good. We need to sing the truth. You know, what we sing during the song service needs to match what is preached during the preaching service. Because here's that element, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Same principle. Whenever Brother Clayton and I preach the gospel, our first and foremost desire is to please the Lord. You know, I want it right with Him. Okay. Then I'll worry about it. You know, if I can get it right with Him, then He'll take care of it being right for you. Okay, because He's the one that's going to bless it. I can't bless it to your heart. I'm preaching till I'm blue in the face. I can dot every I, cross every T, give you all the scriptural references that are pertinent to that subject matter and so forth. But if you receive it, if you get anything out of it, because God blesses it to your heart and to your mind. And the same is true of singing. The same principle. It can be the most beautiful words, the most melodious of hymns. But you know, God's got to bless it in your heart. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We're not, sometimes, well, what's the best way to say this? No, we're not professional singers. But what does it take to make a professional? You know, I've heard that all my life. Well, we're not professional singers. Well, what does it take to make a professional? It takes all a professional is a person that works at being the best he can be at whatever he is. Whether it's a doctor or a lawyer, a lawn maintenance man, a plumber, you know. That's what it takes to make a professional. And we can do that with singing. And the Lord deserves the best. Colossians 3:16, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now pay attention to this verse. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." Now we could put a period there, and we got a complete sentence. And we got a complete thought. But that wasn't what the Spirit wanted Paul to say. Paul wanted the Spirit to say more than that. That the word of Christ, dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, semicolon, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Too often, we want to select a certain hymn just because I want to hear that song. How do I say this? There's really not anything awfully wrong with that. But when we're singing in a congregation, we need to sing songs that we feel that we as a congregation are ready to sing. And that we as a congregation want to sing. That we want to sing together. And that we might feel that's on our heart, that this is what we need to listen to today. You know, our hymns are much like the preaching, divided into doctrinal-based themes, versus practical or practical living based things. Like amazing grace, I would put that in a doctrinally based theme. And sometimes those are the kinds of hymns that we need to sing. And then other times we need to sing hymns that have a practical living based theme. But either one, either category, or if there might be other categories, we should select and sing them in a way of admonishing one another. Listen, by the way, admonishing, when people admonish one another, when we say, if I come to you saying, well, I want to admonish you, if you go look up that word, too much of the time we think of it only in negative terms. Well, if Brother Thomas is wanting to admonish me, it's got to be I've done something bad. When actually the term, if you study its root and so forth, if I want to give you a compliment, well, I've admonished you. Because when you give people a compliment, one of the things that you're telling them is, Hank, keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing because you're good at it. Admonishing. Now, let me hesitate to add that there can be the element of admonishing that we are telling one another or that we need to tell one another that you can do better and you ought to do, or maybe you need to change the way you're doing it. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, think about it. The preacher, we want him to preach with grace. Paul says, I want you to sing with grace. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I would recommend to all of us then that the next time we come together and we know that we start with singing, that we pray that God would give us grace to sing. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. Now he's going to tell us how we can sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. By the way. Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Let's go back, and I'll make this point and sit down. Back up to Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I said, what does that mean? Well, here's the definition. To cause to vibrate by touching. To rub or touch the surface, that is to play on a stringed instrument. Making melody. You take a guitar, you got 6 strings on it. Now, how are you going to make melody with a guitar? Guitar, make me some melody. You going to speak to it? You going to tap it on the bass? You say, no, preacher, that everybody knows you got to put your fingers on the fret and you got to strum those strings and got to know how to make chords and all. Well, yeah, that's true. You see what I'm trying to say? The guitar's not going to make melody by itself. And if you don't really know how to play guitar, it's not going to make very good melody. So the only way you're going to make melody with a guitar is learn how to play the guitar. So what Paul is saying is that You know, just because we open our mouths and sing doesn't necessarily mean that we're making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Because I could give my guitar, you know, to Kinsley back there. Now she'd have a time, and she'd make a noise, and she wouldn't make much melody. Now we might have a good time listening to it, because it'd be a lot of fun until she broke a string or put her fist, you know, through my guitar, you know. But you know, we'd have a probably, you know, we'd talk about that for a long time, but there wouldn't be any melody made. May the Lord add his blessings to bless us to think about that singing, not only in the worship service, but also just, you know, anytime. You know, singing doesn't have to, listen, I preached a lot of sermons that I never stood behind a pulpit. Now, Brother Clayton may not do this, but, you know, I preached a lot of sermons sitting at my desk. You know who those sermons helped? They helped me. They didn't do you a whole lot of good. No, I take that back. They did. Because by going through that motion, that exercise, I'm making melody with my preaching. I'm rehearsing. Not in the same sense of for a play or something. But, you know, sometimes when I get to studying God's word, I get so full, I don't care if anybody there to listen. But me. Because sometimes that's for me. But my point is, the same is true as singing. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning at 10:30 to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. In fact, I would admonish you to not wait till you get to church to sing. To practice. To pray about it. And to do that. Much more could be said. The best way to stop is just say, thank you for your attention. May the Lord add his blessing.
Amen.